Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
This edition of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. With NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Today on the Patriots Report, my co-host Chris Hogan gives you his thoughts on the decision to name Gerard Mayo the new head coach. We also talk about what kind of coach Mayo might be, as well as his vision for the future of the franchise. We also talk about what's next for Bill Belichick if he ends up in Dallas, and much more. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, a lot has happened since we've last talked. Let's start here. Give me your initial feelings on Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots.
I'm excited. I am. I love the fact that it's an in-house guy. He's been in the building. I mean, he was a Patriot for life. He's been coaching with the Patriots his entire career now. He knows Robert. He knows the facility. He knows how things are done there. I think my biggest, when we talk about bringing in a new head coach or even a new head coach going into a different place, you got to do it your own way. I think we've seen it fail time and time again, that it's just everyone tries to recreate what Bill has done in New England, and it didn't work for Matty P in Detroit. It didn't work for Josh in Denver. It didn't work for Josh in Oakland. It's not something that you can recreate. I think Gerard, listen, it's a fresh start, right? I mean, I think we're going to bring in a GM to help him with the draft, and obviously he's got all of his scouts and stuff, but do it your way, man. I mean, however you want to coach this team, or obviously there's a culture there already that's been established, but I think you really have to make it, this is your team, right? This is not how Bill did things. This is how me, Gerard, is gonna run this team. And I think, listen, the guy's a hell of a leader. He was a hell of a football player. And I think that a lot of guys are gonna respond to him. The one thing that I'm nervous about is he's a defensive guy, right? And we don't need any help on defense right now. I think where we're at in the draft right now, I think he needs to be so heavily focused on the offense. So we haven't hired anyone as a GM. I know things are moving quickly in New England, mm-hmm. but I hope that they give him, not that he needs help, but I think they need guidance. They need, you know, let's do our due diligence on the draft picks and the free agents that are coming up, and, you know, how, where's the wiggle room that we get away with in the cap, you know, all these things that he probably hasn't really had to deal with now being a head coach. And yeah, we'll see, man. I think New England should be excited about him and the future. And I'm excited for him. I mean, Gerard was a hell of a football player. I wish I had a chance to play with him. I've obviously had a chance to meet him, but you know, it'll be fun. It's going to be an interesting off season. That's for sure. It already is. And we're only like, what, 2 days into it?
I want to ask you from a player's perspective, does it matter if there is a GM? Because I know in years past here, the idea is that, well, if I'm a player, I don't like my playing time, I'm just going to run upstairs and talk to the GM. Maybe the GM puts a little pressure on the head coach and things change. They have not, you alluded to this, they have not named a GM yet. And a lot of reports say they're not going to go with one specific guy to be the GM of this team. Does that concern you? What are some of your thoughts about that? And again, from a player's perspective, does that even matter?
No, I don't think it matters, to be honest with you. I think that Gerard is going to create an environment where, I mean, listen, he played. There's going to be that some level of, hey, I know the business. I know players. I know coaches. I know how this thing is going to go. So I think that players are going to feel comfortable enough kind of speaking to him about some of these different things, right? Like playing, you know, whatever, playing time. I mean, listen, if you believe that you should be doing something else, the head coach is the one that you got to go to, and you got to have the balls to go up and have that conversation with your head coach. GM is just, you know, I feel like there needs to be someone there that's like the underneath the GM general manager role, mm-hmm. only because I think that there's got to be a huge focus on trying to build this team. What we have in the locker room is not it. Right. I think everyone knows that. So there's got to be a huge focus. And I think maybe bringing someone in that's got a little bit of a fresh perspective on how to build a team, or has had success building a team through the draft and through free agency. And I think that's important to where we're at right now. I can't sit here and expect Gerard just to go in there, with no help. Right. Other than obviously we have fantastic scouts, and the scouting department is great. But at the end of the day, who's making the decision? Right. Mm-hmm. Don't put that on your rookie head coach right away. Like give him a little bit of help and let's put some of the accountability into a role like a general manager, and let them both kind of make that decision together. And as you know, as an organization, let's make these decisions together. And Bill always took the accountability himself, right? Like that draft pick, like this is Bill, like that he had the final say on all this stuff. So I think let's try to spread the accountability around here a little bit so that, you know, I don't know, who knows what's going to happen next season, but you know, let's say worst case scenario, right? And we go out and we don't make the playoffs again. And now it's like, well, Gerard can't draft. Gerard can't coach. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's not do that. We don't need to do that. Guys earn the right, obviously, to coach in this league. So let's put a little bit more accountability into some of the other people within the organization. So Bob, you know, Mr. Kraft, step up, bring in a GM, right? Take a little bit of pressure off your head coach that you just hired.
As a player. And look, obviously, I would imagine that Bill is the exception to the rule. But does it matter to you being coached by a former player? Is that a draw? Are you maybe more inclined to sign there as a free agent? Are you more inclined to understand what the coach is going through or what the players are going through? Tell me about that relationship. I don't think you ever played for a former player as a head coach, but maybe a position player. What is it that they have in their relationship that maybe they don't have with someone who didn't play the game?
I think, I look at New England as, listen, I mean, I think it really depends on what we do in the draft and a little bit of free agency. Like, do we bring in a quarterback right away, or are we going to draft a rookie quarterback, you know, with our first pick? But New England just became a more exciting place for, I think, free agents and guys to go to. Listen, you know, like there was so much about Bill and how hard it is to play there. And you know, he's just hasn't really, nothing has changed. You know, it's still a tough place to play. He expects a lot, and it just became a tough place to go to when you're not going to the playoffs every single year. I mean, there wasn't that guy, right? Tom wasn't there anymore. No one wanted, Tom was an attraction for free agents and for guys that want to go there and play ball. So I think Gerard has a tremendous amount of respect, right, from players. Mm-hmm. And I think guys are going to come in, they're going to talk to him. He's going to have a lot of energy. They're going to notice that leadership right away, how he's going to do things. And I think that it's definitely a more exciting place to want to go to, right? I mean, Gerard, and listen, we don't know how this is going to go either, but Gerard can totally just be like, nah, I was a player, but I'm a coach now, and this is how I'm doing things, and I'm not a player-friendly coach. I don't see that happening, right? I think he's going to listen to his guys. He's going to listen to his captains. I feel like he's going to have a more player-friendly, schedule when it's coming to, you know, making sure everyone's getting rest. He's not going to try to kill guys. I think he sees the value in, you know, he also is an old school, you know, he went through 2-a-days. He went through all that stuff, but I think he sees the value in having a healthy team, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he sees what it did to this team this year and what it does to every team across the league, essentially every year. Guys are just getting hurt. They're banged up. So I think there'll be a lot of that. I think guys are going to enjoy playing for him. I love playing. If any of my position coaches had ever played the game or played the position, you just have, it's more relatable. You know, this guy did it, and he did it at a very, very high level for a long time. And I think there's just, you ultimately have that respect right off the bat. And then I think it's just about, you know, trying to figure out, he's obviously going to be figuring it out himself. And then I think for Gerard, it's always communication, I think, is going to be key. Having veteran guys in there that he can communicate with, that he can kind of get his message and how things are going to be done, and having those guys to be able to go implement that throughout the locker room and making sure that, listen, this is Gerard's team now. This isn't Bill's guy.
It's fascinating to think about him as a head coach, because usually when guys come into these situations, there's some sort of template. We have some sort of idea as to what kind of a coach this guy is going to be. Is he going to be aggressive? Is he going to be demonstrative? Is he going to, whatever the case may be, but we really don't know much about Mayo in his, you know, in that
we
area.
Know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you think as a guy who's watched him and, you know, maybe talked to him a little bit, what kind of coach do you think he's going to be? Do you think he's going to be a hard ass? Do you think he's going to be aggressive? Do you think he's going to be demonstrative on the sidelines? What kind of coach are we looking at here in New England?
I think that we have a tremendous leader. I think we have a guy that's going to be able to stand in front of 60, 70 guys in a locker room and demand their attention and have it like right off the bat. I think he's going to be aggressive. I think that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, he was an aggressive football player. I think we're looking at an aggressive defensive coach that's going to want to, you know, create a lot of chaos, right, on that side of the ball. I think it's just, I just don't know what's going to happen. Are we keeping everybody on the offensive side of the coaching staff? Like, is he bringing in his own coaching staff? Like, he's got to be able to have that option of doing that sort of thing. This is his team. That's what I mean by, this is not Bill's team anymore. He's got to be able to come in and do it his way. And if he feels like we need a new offensive coordinator or we need a new position coach over here, like, he needs to be able to do that kind of stuff to make it his team, or else there's going to be too much miscommunication going on throughout the season if he really doesn't want someone there. So I think offensively, he's got to rely on that coach to kind of get him there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be an aggressive coach, man. I think he's got a lot of energy. You see him on the sideline, and I think he's going to be a type of guy that is going to have a lot of high expectations, just like Bill did, just because he was brought up in that world, right? He played in that world, he lived that world, and he was successful in that world. So, like, why change that, right? I don't think he's just going to lower expectations because he's Bill's gone and the head coach. Like, no, like, we're the New England Patriots. Let's get back to that. Like, going through last season for him must have been brutal, right? Because that's his legacy is playing for New England. And that must have been tough, man, losing all those games, like, in Foxborough like that. And I know that he doesn't want to feel that way anymore, and I'm sure that's going to be a pretty big message to his guys next year.
Walk with me through this comparison here. You talk about the offensive side of the ball and what lies ahead for, you know, the offense on this team in terms of, are they bringing guys back? I don't think you can question Mayo's defensive credentials.
Right.
I think he's a guy who brings a lot to the table. I think the defense is going to continue to play at a very high level. I think he's going to need a veteran offensive coordinator. Basically, the offensive version of Vic Fangio. Someone who comes into New England, has very little to no head coaching aspirations, but is interested in helping mentor Jerod Mayo to kind of get him up to speed a little bit, to handle that side of the ball, to kind of control the offense with the understanding, look, you're not going to be a head coach, but you're going to help serve as a mentor for this guy. What do you think about that? First of all, about that idea, and is there anyone who comes to mind instantaneously who you can point to and say, you know what, Mayo needs to look at this guy as a possible offensive coordinator? It's
no
a lot.
Mine, but like, but to your point though, that's what I'm talking about. This is your team. You don't need someone like that's why. That's what I said. Like, is the offensive side of the ball, like, are these the guys that you want? Because you have to be able to run this team the way you want to run this team. You don't need someone just saying, hey, you're a rookie head coach. You've never done this before. So you need to listen to me, or I'm going to do it my way because you don't know the offensive side. Like, no, F that. Like, you're doing, this is your team. And you need a guy, you need guys, you need an entire other side of the ball, coaching staff included, that are going to respect the way that you want things done and are going to do it very, very well. So I don't know. Is Bill O'Brien that guy? Like, I don't know. I don't know if he is. I mean, I certainly think he's a good offensive coordinator, but does he click with Drop? You know, so he's been around. I mean, Josh is out there. I mean, he's been there, right?
Well, that's ultimately my question. Okay, well, like, how about this? That's my question. Do you think Josh is able to now put any sort of head coaching aspirations in his back pocket and say, okay, I'll come back as the offensive coordinator. I'll help you get to where you want to be. I'll help this team get to where it needs to be. And then maybe I move on from there. Is Josh the guy?
Sure. I mean, he can be. He certainly can be. I mean, listen, he did it with Bill for a very long time. The head coaching is hard, right? And he's shown it time and time again that he's a very good offensive coordinator when he is just dedicating himself to that and not trying to manage an entire football team. So, like, is Josh the guy? Sure, maybe. But again, that it all goes back to Jerod now. Mm-hmm. And Jerod needs to bring a coach, an offensive coordinator and coaching staff that he trusts, that believe in him, right? There can't be any of this like dissension among the ranks right now, because you know you have a young team that you need to bring in some veteran guys, that you need some veteran leadership, and there's a lot of holes to fill. And I think right now it's going to be able to having a strong coaching staff, right, that all trust each other and they believe in Jerod and the team and the direction that they want to take everything. I think that's very important right now, because I've been on teams where, and not saying it's a rookie head coach, but, you know, coaches talk, man. And it's just like, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that. We're running this. We don't do enough of this. And it's like, dude, like, you guys, like, you clearly don't believe in this guy, like, and what he's doing. Like, you don't need any of that, because guess what happens? That's a snowball effect, right? And now it starts with the coaching staff, and then it goes to the players, and then it goes to the younger guys, and now all of a sudden everyone's just like, F this, like, no one believes in anybody, like, let's just figure out the rest of the season and then let's go our separate ways. So, like, you know, you don't need any of that. You need a lot of positivity and trust, I think, is going to be the biggest thing, and belief in Gerard as a head coach. So it'll be interesting to see what we do on the offensive side of the ball. I am very curious, as I'm sure you are and the rest of New England is.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, I want to change gears here a little bit. And first of all, I want to tell you that one of the strangest things in the world is typing out the phrase former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Oh.
Because I never thought that I would type that out. It's been something that I've been doing for 20 plus years. And it's the finality of it all from last week is what struck me. But I want to kind of spin it forward a little bit if we can. The Cowboys suffered a horrible playoff loss over the weekend. And all we're hearing now is Bill Belichick to Dallas. What do you think is next for Bill Belichick?
I think you go somewhere warmer. You know? So, like, you know, it's like Tom, right? It's like, let me go somewhere warmer, extend my career a few more years. It's going to be easier.
Look, Atlanta is also very, warm.
Warm. San Diego or LA, you know, very warm, you know, so dude, I don't know. It's so weird to even like consider him into a different, like in a different position like that. I mean, I was making a joke about it this weekend. It's like, you know, it's funny to think about Bill Belichick, like, hey, Matt, you're like, okay, he's going to walk in for an interview. What do you ask the guy, right? Like, how does that interview process go? It's like, I feel like he's going to sit down for the interview, and it's going to turn into him interviewing the owner, right? Like, this is how I'm going to do things here. It's like, you know, it's like, what does he do? Walk into the meeting with all of his rings on his finger and be like, hey, do you want me here? Like, how does that go? You know, it's so different. We see all these head coaching jobs come open, and it's these younger guys, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. And yeah, that's a legit interview process to go through and be like, hey, like, what's your vision for this team and how you're going to do things. Be like, this is Bill Belichick, bro. Like, everyone knows how he's going to come in and do things. Nothing's going to be any different. So it's just, it's funny to me to think about him on head coaching, like, interviews. But I don't know. It's weird to think about him coaching someone else.
I tell you, man, this offseason, though, between Belichick, Harbaugh, and Vrabel, this is a good time to be a coach on the market.
Yeah. I mean, hey, someone might try to pull Nick Saban out of retirement too and get him.
Between them and then Pete Carroll and Nick Saban.
I mean, there's a lot of head coaches out there that like are, well, got a really good resume to go mm-hmm. to somewhere else and start coaching. So, yeah, I would imagine all of those guys are going to be going on all of the same interviews and highly sought after because the Rabel one surprised me. I mean, not as much as Bill, but I mean, I thought he had done such a good job in Tennessee. And obviously, you know, Pete Carroll won. Again, it's the owners get into this world of, okay, we need, you know, fresh new blood. We need to do this. And it's like, the grass is not always greener on the other side, man. Like, it is hard to win in this league. And, like, you want to become one of these teams that now is just cycling through head coaches because you're not able to find one that's successful. Like, great. I mean, if that's what you want to do, because we see it time and time again, like, it is not easy to win this league as a new head coach. And it kind of seems like that's where a lot of these owners are okay doing it. But leave a lot of money on the table.
Yeah.
These guys a lot of money, you know, and these guys, they're all under contract. And like, listen, most of them just like, okay, whatever, moving on. You still owe me this. And I'm just going to go now get a new head coaching job somewhere else. So, which is hard too for them. I mean, it's hard. You know, these guys all have families and it's tough to be a coach in this league. But so, you know, I got to imagine that, you know, Rabel, Bill, you know, Pete Carroll, Harbaugh, all those guys are going to be, kind of the most sought after in these positions. And that, you know, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I mean, it sounds like, you know, what's his, you know, Antonio Pierce might be the guy in, out in LA. So, yeah. Vegas. Yeah. Yeah. So they obviously believe in a player coach perspective there as well. So we'll see. We're only like 36 hours into the offseason.
Yeah, and it's gonna keep getting nuts. Yeah, it's gonna keep getting crazier and crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
So, we haven't talked since the regular season finale, which locked them into the number three seed. I know we've talked about draft direction, but you could very well end up with a chance at one of the top QBs or Marvin Harrison Jr. Have you changed at all? I know early on you were talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. as a fellow wide receiver, as a guy who was a game changer, someone who could really, you know, get you back in the postseason within a year or two if you have a guy like that. Where do you stand right now in terms of, look, if they had their pick, you know, there's the quarterbacks, there's a couple of great offensive tackles out there, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Where are you going at number three?
I'm still going skill player. I mean, I am. I just think quarterbacks need like time to be developed, right? We can't expect people to come in and just be successful. So I still think that there's the ability to try to bring in a veteran free agent that's played, that shows that he can play, right? And we can go out and we can build an offensive line through free agency. And listen, there's going to be guys that are going to be available in the draft as well. But those skill position guys, I mean, those game changing guys in the draft, man, they don't come around very often. And you'll be able to keep him there for the next 3 to 4 years, right? And if he turns out to be that guy, like, dude, then you got yourself a number one wide receiver that you can try to build a team around. And then have, like, help a rookie quarterback if we go with a rookie quarterback or help a veteran guy. I mean, I think there's such a need for a big time receiver in that offense. And then we kind of start messing with the puzzle a little bit more and seeing what works. But I haven't really changed. I think it's just so hard for to draft a quarterback. in the NFL now. I mean, these kids don't, they only see a certain amount of defenses. You know, you're not really sure how they're going to handle playing, you know, in an NFL system and how fast the game is, so different. And you just have no way of knowing, obviously, and you have to take those chances in drafting these guys. But, yeah, I'm still sitting pretty heavy at skill player.
He is, for me, if you're not talking about a quarterback or an offensive lineman, Marvin Harrison Jr., you're just the skill position guys, he's the closest thing to a sure thing.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Just the way he approaches the game, you know, that's what's in his DNA, the way he goes about his business, the numbers he's put up. He just, for me, if you can't, for whatever reason, get the quarterback you want at number three,
yeah,
you could do a lot worse than Marvin Harrison Jr. I know a lot of people up here are saying, take Marvin Harrison Jr. at number three, yep, and then you hope, or you maneuver it so you can get Michael Penix Jr. somewhere toward the end of the first round and the start of the second round. And then you bring in a bridge guy, a veteran, yep, free agent type, a Jacoby Brissett type. I've thrown his, yep, name out there.
Yeah.
If you feel like Penix isn't ready, or you just push all the chips in the middle of the table and you go after Caleb Williams.
Yeah. I mean, we can, you know. Again, I think it's going to rely heavily on what does Gerard Mayo want to do with, mm-hmm, this football team. Right?
You know what's funny? That all world. These years, we would sit here and say, well, Bill would never do that. Bill would never make that move. And now we can't say that. You know, we don't know what kind of approach the Patriots are going to take this time.
It's a different era, man. And I think we don't know what Gerard wants to do. But again, I think that's kind of my – where it goes back to, like, this is your team now. You got to run this the way that you want to do it and not let anyone else tell you otherwise, right? Like, unless Robert is going to bring in a GM where he's like, hey, like, this guy's here to help. If he's not, this is not, doesn't make the final decision, but y'all have to get together and the decision's going to be between you two, the final one, like, when we go to draft and free agency, like, great. But, like, let's make sure that we – those two guys are not just bumping heads the entire time. We got some people in there that want to make the right decision for the team and where Gerard wants to go with it. So, well, I think Gerard's probably, I got a feeling that he's going to want some, see his offense stay on the field a little bit longer so his defense doesn't have to just, you know, hold teams to 15 points a game. Like, right? So I think he's going to want that. That's, I mean, he's seen how he played for Tom, man. He knows this. Tom Brady was the reason why that offense was so good. We had great players, but he was the guy. And I think he saw how a Randy Moss comes into that offense and can be successful. I think he sees how having a number one receiver, you know, skill players, Gronkowski, guys like Julian, you know, I think he's seen it. He's been there. So I think he's going to want to bring in some good skill players to make this offense go a little bit, you know, and whoever he brings in at quarterback, just to give him a little help.
All right. A couple questions before we wrap up here. First of all, I saw the preview for the Dynasty, the Apple TV documentary on the Patriots. And I was struck by something that Danny Amendola said, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, but he said that we worked for Bill, yeah, but we played for Tom. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the truest thing. I mean, I believe that too. I mean, Bill was my boss, right? Bill was, and I will never, ever, Bill taught me about football, man. I mean, more than I've learned more from that man than I could have ever hoped to imagine. And I'm forever grateful that he brought me onto that team in 2017 or 2016. But, like, when I got there, obviously it was very apparent that, you know, listen, this guy is our head coach and we are going to do exactly how he wants things done throughout, you know, practice and tempo and game film and preparation and scheduling. But when it came down to playing on Sundays, you played for the guy that was out there, you know, touching the ball every single play. So you played for 12, right? And I think There's been a bunch of guys that kind of have felt their ways of, about how, you know, Bill didn't pay anybody, right? So he was never giving out the big checks to some of these guys that put in a lot of time and put in a lot of hours, you know, like grinding for him and doing these things. So I know some guys feel a certain type of way about some of that stuff, right? But I think that Bill is a phenomenal head coach, and I think that guys learned a lot from him, and they respected the hell out of him because of how he prepared his teams from literally up, you know, for any possible situation. And then I think that, yeah, Tom Brady was a guy that everyone went there to play with, right? Guy's a GOAT. And if you wanted to play with the GOAT, you had to go to New England and deal with, hey, for Bill, right? Or being coached by Bill. And some guys could handle it, some guys couldn't. But the guys that could handle it, guess what they got? Most of them. They got the hardware.
Rings. Right?
They went to Super Bowls. They went to AFC Championship games. So, like, beggars can't be choosers here, man. You know, it's like, yeah, you're going to get coached. Bill's going to coach the hell out of you, and he's going to expect a lot of you. You're going to be out there in pads in for 17 weeks every single Wednesday doing one-on-ones, blockings, you know, and – but – you get to play with the greatest quarterback ever when he was there. And then you have a chance to go to a Super Bowl, which doesn't happen in a lot of guys' careers, right? And I was fortunate to be on three of those teams and win two Super Bowls. And, you know, I believe what Danny says. I think he'd say the same thing, that he's got a lot of respect for Bill and how he coaches and prepares his teams. But, like, yeah, we went out there and we were playing for number 12 because he had some damn high expectations, too, of his team, right? And you didn't want to piss that guy off either.
Hey, I want to wrap up with one last question. How psyched were you to see your friend Dan Campbell win? We're recording this on Monday morning, but how psyched were you to see Dan Campbell and the Lions do what they did Sunday night? I'm sitting here as I'm talking to you about it, I'm getting goosebumps. It was one of those really fun moments, even if you don't have the background that you have necessarily with Dan Campbell, to be able to see what that game meant to the city of Detroit and to the Lions was just something else.
It's so cool, man. I mean, you can see, right, when an organization believes in a guy, right, that puts all of their trust and all their faith and be like, listen, I know that you're going to get it there. I mean, Dan Campbell is such a, the intensity, the emotion, man, you could just see it in his face. It's so effing raw, and he just cares so much about his team and his guys, and he's always believed in it, and he's believed in Jared, and he's believed in his defense, and he's brought in the type of, they obviously have bought into his mentality of we're biting ankles and not going out without a fight. And, you know, he's out here consuming 900 milligrams of caffeine in the morning. And he's just got that. For him to be able to do what he did last night and his team to just continue to believe in him and how he's going to coach and how he's going to do things. I mean, it's unreal. It was so cool, you know, because he was, I mean, he just cares so much, man. And you can just see it in his face that, you know, like, when they lost to Dallas 2 weeks ago. And, you know, you can just see in someone's face how much they emotionally, physically, mentally, like how much they put into this game. I mean, God, man, it looked like someone had just ripped his heart out because they lost the way that they lost. And then to see him go out last night, you know, and win the way that they won. I mean, in Detroit, I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs since when? Like 30 years?
30 years.
Yeah. I mean, man, it was awesome. I'm so happy for him. And it does not matter where they go from here. I mean, I think that he has established himself. You know, this team believes in him. I think they believe in themselves, and that's underrated, you know, for a team to have that sort of belief in each other and your coach and how he does things. I mean, that's huge. You know, you're creating, he's created that culture over there, right? And I think people are gonna, guys are might want to go start playing for Dan Campbell because he's such a psychopath, right? Because he cares so damn much, and they want to play for something like that, right? Like,
and that's not an act, too. I mean, we've discussed Dan about on this podcast before. That's him. Yeah. That's legit. Yeah. That's really him.
He has not changed for anybody, and I think that's how true he is to himself and how he wants to coach things, how he coached his way, right? And he made it work. You know, and I think, you know, let's talk going back to Gerard, like, coach your way, man, right? Like, this is your team now. Dan Campbell went into a situation where it wasn't great, but he coached his way. He didn't change for anybody, and he made it work. And it probably took a little bit of, you know, a couple extra coffees for him and you know, a couple extra meetings to, like, get these guys to understand, like, this is me, right? I'm totally out there. I'm totally nuts, but this is my energy. It's never going to change. And it's going to be contagious for all these guys. And it's paid off, man, like, so much. These guys, he's got that team playing hard.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. I love it. Well, we're going to have more to talk about next week. We're going to get introduced to Gerard Mayo as the new head coach. Maybe there's going to be some GM news, and we will get closer anyway to the start of the offseason, the real offseason, the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl, the Combine, all that good stuff. So we're going to have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Patriots moving forward. Take care, Chris, and we will talk again next week.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. With the NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all of the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.